For WKNO News, I'm Christopher Blank. A recent study by a researcher at Brown University looked at the impact that Donald Trump has made on racial perceptions in America. What Andrew Engelhart found was that Republican views have not evolved. Only 3% of Republicans have a strong, positive view of black people. Meanwhile, Democrats have been moving quickly to the left on racial issues. Now about 40% of Democrats have strongly positive views of blacks, and that's up by about 19% over the last 4 years. That shift will no doubt be one factor in the upcoming election. And here to talk about that is political analyst Otis Sanford. Welcome back.
Thank you, Chris. Glad to be here.
Otis, if, as this study shows, Democrats are moving further left on racial issues, what kind of impact could that have on the candidates now running for office nationally?
Obviously, I think the number one impact is that those candidates will have to address the issues that significantly impact the majority of African Americans in this country. The one thing that bothers me sometimes is that candidates for office, whether they are Democrats or Republicans, they seem to think that they are addressing issues related to black people when they talk about criminal justice. They have to, as they address these issues, not just do it from a stereotypical way, but understand what African-Americans generally care about and be able to address those in a much more thoughtful way.
But even for Democrats, race can trip up candidates. There was Elizabeth Warren and her claim to Native American ancestry. This week, Joe Biden was making the case that he gets along with everyone, and then he named some racist politicians. And critics said, you know, getting along with racists isn't something that you can be proud of anymore.
Well, obviously, Joe Biden is going to be attacked and second-guessed primarily because he's the front runner. I mean, let's just be honest about that. This may sound like a surprise come for me, but I thought that the reaction to what Joe Biden said in that instance was totally overblown. He was just making the point that even people like that that I don't agree with, I was able to work with as a way of saying, I can work with the Republicans now. I can work with Mitch McConnell. But the reaction to it, I think, has been totally, totally overblown. And people like Cory Booker and others are trying to bring him down a notch, especially where race is concerned.
You know, Biden's response to those critics was also a little awkward. He said, everybody knows I don't have a racist bone in my body. And, you know, society is just a little bit more self-aware these days.
Right. You don't have to tell me that you don't have a racist bone in your body, because I think everybody has some level of unconscious bias about something. So I think that's protesting too much.
So as you know, Memphis Congressman Steve Cohen was chair of a hearing this week on reparations for slavery. The idea behind House Resolution 40 is really just to study the possibilities of what reparations would look like. Where do you think this falls in the mix of today's politics?
Well, I think it falls almost kind of right in the center. I mean, you know, we're at a tipping point here where race is concerned, primarily because, you know, we have a president that has put it out there, whether he intended to, for his political benefit. And I find it hard to understand why there is so much vehemence and division over just the idea of studying the vestiges of slavery, the impact of slavery on generations. I don't see anything wrong with that. Donald Trump put together a commission to study non-existent voter fraud.
But I wonder if you think that having these hearings in the middle of this election turns it into a platform for criticizing Trump and Republicans for what's happening in America now, instead of getting social justice for the past, which is really the aim of reparations.
Yeah, and I think you make a good point there, and the answer is yes, I do. We are in the middle of a campaign, and it will be seen as, throwing light on Republicans who would oppose it, certainly criticizing the president.
Right, and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell was sort of in the middle of that first day of the hearing. He said that no one now alive is responsible for the repercussions of slavery. And, of course, in that hearing, this is what journalist Ta-Nehisi Coates had to say.
What this committee must know is that while emancipation deadbolted the door against the bandits of America, Jim Crow wedged the windows wide open. And that is the thing about Senator McConnell's something. It was 150 years ago, and it was right now.
So why is McConnell being attacked here?
First of all, Mitch McConnell is the last person that would talk about, hey, we made progress because we elected an African-American president. He didn't vote for him. And I don't remember that Mitch McConnell has been a leader on civil rights legislation. Certainly, I don't think that he's interested in expanding and renewing the voting rights bill. So for him to get up in front of a camera and give those as reasons why we don't need reparations was the height of hypocrisy and the height of ignorance to boot. So, yes, I thought the criticism of him was very justified.
Well, locally, we've been talking about race and community a lot. And I want to ask you about this recent case of an MLGW employee named Mike Goza. Mm-hmm. He was fired by the utility over racist Facebook posts that became public. Well, MLGW didn't want him dealing with the public anymore. They offered him a lower paying position. He refused. They fired him. Well, Goza just won his case in federal court. Private companies can fire anyone they want to, but because MLGW is a public company, employees have some First Amendment protections. Otis, you are a champion of free speech.
I am.
Did the judge get this one right?
I tend to think that he did, primarily because if you're just looking straight at the issue of whether MLGW is a public company, therefore a government employer, And Mr. Goza appears to have been fired strictly because of a racially insensitive, inappropriate, some would even say vile, statements that he made about people on his private time, then I think that the judge got it right here.
So it's okay if a private company gets rid of an employee who is widely known as being racist, mm-hmm. but it's not okay if a public company does the same thing.
Well, that's what the judge is saying here, because, again, if you read strictly the First Amendment, it talks about Congress shall make no laws respecting the establishment of this or abridging or hindering the free exercise thereof of religion, speech, in the press. Speech is the issue here. We're talking about government there. And MLGW is in effect, a government employer. So that's what I think the judge, John McCullough, is relying on here. And it seems to be that he's on solid ground here. Again, MLGW could appeal this because they could make the case that the issue here was more about public safety than it was about we just didn't like what this guy said on his own time. They might have a harder time making that case, but they could make it, because if he's going out to somebody's house, you know, he could do something with the electricity or the gas or whatever, and that could be a public safety.
So he could pose a danger to the customers. That
theoretically he could. But I don't think that MLGW made that argument here. Their argument strictly was he said some things that once it was brought to our attention, we didn't like it. We wanted to give him another job and pay him less money, which I think was a problem as well. And I don't know that he had any other disciplinary problems in his record. Those are the issues that I think Judge McCullough looked at here when he made the decision.
Right. And yet he added a caveat to all of this. He said not all public employees get to exercise free speech on social media. He said that police officers and firefighters cannot post racist things, as their decisions on their jobs put people's lives at risk. Mm-hmm. And I should add that the Philadelphia Police Department just put 72 police officers on desk duty because of thousands of racist social media posts. So let's look at that difference. Mm-hmm. What is the difference between somebody who works for a public utility and somebody who works to serve and protect?
You know, a police officer has far more opportunities to be in a life and death situation with a member of the public than somebody who's an MLGW technician. Mm-hmm. And the likelihood of an encounter that could rise to violence is 50 times greater for police officers. And so the notion that you don't want a police officer with stated racist views, that's a reasonable thing to deal with.
And it also seems like, especially when you have cases such as here in Memphis, the Brandon Weber shooting, mm-hmm. a police officer posting random racist Facebook things could be a major liability in the case that people are investigating.
Absolutely, it could. Plus, it puts that officer and anybody who is working with that officer at risk as well. People are not bashful these days to attack the police. And so, you know, this person would be putting other officers in danger if they are on a detail together. So I understand that the level of tolerance for hate speech and that kind of vile social media stuff has to apply to police officers, even district attorneys. You know, we had a district attorney, I think, out in the suburbs.
Right in Collierville.
Absolutely. And he was dismissed. Because he had the power over freedom and incarceration for people, including African Americans. So you have to look at these things in that respect. I don't think the judge in the MLGW employee's case saw him as rising to that level.
The policing of the police on social media has become its own cottage industry.
Well, and I think it has to. Again, you know, social media, you know, is a wonderful, wonderful thing for people to use for business purposes, for social reasons, to connect with family, even to do your job. You and I use it. But it's also has become this mechanism for hate in a lot of ways. And people, you know, I don't understand it. They don't think twice sometimes about the things that they would put out on social media, knowing that it could impact their job, whether they lose it or not. It exposes them to some attention that they probably don't need to be exposed to.
Well, we will be keeping a close eye on the way these different issues develop over the next few weeks and mm-hmm. in the months, and certainly throughout the campaign.
Yeah.
Political analyst Otis Sanford joins us each week to talk about politics. Thanks again.
Thank you, Chris.
This is WKNO News.